Today is September the 29th, regular board meeting of the Board of Commissioners. The time is now 6:05.
Okay, now we can commence our September 29th Lakeland Housing Authority Board meeting. Can everyone join us for the Pledge of Allegiance? And now the flag is back. See that?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Recognize a moment of silence. Okay. We do have a quorum. Everyone is present.
Except for Mr. Ross.
Oh,
except, I forget.
Because you're sitting in his seat.
That's
why.
No, that's his seat.
Okay. Has everyone had a chance to look at the agenda? Okay. I'd like to, with the board's approval, to move up item number five. Berman Hopkins presentation and move it up to the agenda after the public forum. That's okay with everyone?
Fine.
Okay. Any changes we need to the agenda? Is that the agenda okay with everyone? Okay. Then the agenda has been approved. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? Have any motion to accept the minutes or
on the minutes? It says minutes. The Housing Authority, City of Lakeland, Monday, September 29, 2014. Would those be the minutes for today, or
would that be
for the last one?
August the 18th.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was just. Yeah, no, I mean, I found out I just got carried over.
That shows you read.
I tried to read it. Yeah.
So it's supposed to be in August.
There's two sets of minutes, right?
Yeah, there's the 15th and there's the.
It's August 18th.
Yes,
August 18th, right.
You know, from Monday to Wednesday, August 18th.
The regular board meeting should say August 18th, accepting August 18th.
2014.
Well.
Yeah, right?
You can't approve today.
Right.
We could get out here fancy right now.
I can go.
But you got to take them separately, so September
11th. Those who go first, the August 18th, September 29th, a.k.a. August 20th, August 18th.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Those will be first, and then the special board meeting on September 15th.
Okay, got it.
So with those corrections, you have an approval of the minutes, first, second.
No, you got to take them one at a time. I'm sorry.
You know what? I have a question on this one. We're looking at
which one?
The ones that you have. Title Monday, September 29th. That one's August 18th, you
said? Right.
Okay. Because in there, we have the motion. Oh, so that should be motion to approve and accept the minutes of the regular board meeting held July.
Right, July.
Okay. That's why it is.
Yeah.
August 18th to approve August 18th? You see, we're right in that same situation.
Oh, July.
Okay. Okay. Then let's go with, we'll start with the August 18th minutes first then.
It'll be July 21st.
July 21st, yeah.
July 21st.
I I move we accept the August minutes with the necessary corrections as indicated.
I second it. Roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessory.
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson.
He's not here.
Commissioner Sanders.
Aye.
Commissioner Smith.
Aye.
Okay. The minutes have been approved, accepted, and approved. Now we're on to the minutes for the special board meeting of September 15th. Has everyone had a chance to review those?
Move their approval.
We have a second.
Second.
Any questions? Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessory.
Aye.
Commissioner Smith.
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders.
Aye.
No, present.
I'm in present.
That's okay.
Okay. Those minutes are approved and accepted. Now we're up to item number 3, public forum. Okay, we're up to item number 4, Berman Hopkins. Well, that's 4 now. We changed it up.
Yeah,
we moved it up.
We moved 5 up to 4 this year to 15.
According to what I saw on the lineup,
she was here.
I thought she was here. I remember speaking with her.
I was here as a special voter.
I'm the special board. That's when we just voted, right?
Then I apologize. I tried to make you not here.
Okay. No, I remember conversing with her.
I was momentarily distracted. I apologize.
No, it's fine. I just...
thank you.
Don't be messing with our commissioner.
Commissioner DeCessory is all over everything. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Brian Emroth with Berman Hopkins CPAs. And we're here to present the December 2013 audit. And HUD was just here today and meeting with your staff, making a change to one of the numbers here. So this is a moving work in process, but it'll be done. It's got to be due tomorrow. So we've got plenty of time.
Which means we don't want to keep them here too long.
Yes.
Because they have to run to get this work done, and they're charging us triple time and a half any time past midnight. So let's get this going.
So to recap, there's discussion points on the top of your packet. You do have the whole draft audit is behind it, and in the very back on some of yours, it might be incorporated within, is a big fold-out. And this is your financial data schedule, and it's going to look like this.
Yep.
So it is hard to read, even though we made it be bigger, but these are your numbers in your various buckets, your various programs. So when we look at the numbers, keep in mind that it's going to be as of December 2013, and it's going to be topside when I give you the presentation, but internally you can have that financial data schedule for your own reference. So the very first line is cash, and you can see which funds have the cash. You need some help there? Yours is missing in action. Here you go.
Okay.
No problem. So we're just going to kind of stick to the agenda here, but I'm with Berman Hopkins. We were procured, in the normal fashion when you guys went out for bid for audit services. We specialize in auditing housing authorities. We have a dedicated team just working on housing authorities, and there's all these PIH notices and all these accounting standards that come out, so it is a very specific niche. And the staff that we have that just work on housing authorities are just hired and trained for housing authorities. It's not to say we know everything, though. because we had some numbers as of yesterday that HUD was just here today and wanted us to change. So we try and stay on top of it as much as we can. General overview and key points. The audits for the 12-month period ending 2013, so keep that in mind. So the financial updates you're getting from staff are probably more relevant as far as cash in the bank and the due-tos and due-froms and so forth. It's a financial audit, counting the beans and talking about the numbers, but it's also, more importantly, internal controls and compliance. So Section 8 is one of your major programs. We like to test the waiting list and eligibility, something called CMAP, Section 8 Management Assessment Program, making sure HAP payments are going to the landlords the way they should, on a sample basis, direct and material compliance areas. Financial is going to include all your programs and all your funds, and it's going to include your general partners in the limited liabilities, but it's not going to include the limited liability partnerships themselves. Those are under separate audit. I'm sure you guys are aware of that. So we own the general partner 100%, and then the general partner, through an extension, owns a 0.01 interest in the partnerships. Overall, financial statements is a clean opinion, fairly stated in all material respects. That's 2 years running now for 13 and 12. In 2011, we did have to modify that opinion. We had to qualify it for certain areas. Internal control and compliance issues. It's going to be on page 53 of the large packet. We did have to qualify the opinion for a couple items, and we tested some other major programs, 21st Century and Capital Fund, which were clean. The findings are on the cover page here on number 5. So 2013-1, Eva left and had to get the audit done within 60 days. When she left, she knew she had pending adjustments. She just couldn't get it all done, and consultants were here. The bottom line is when we have an audit that's different than the unaudited, significant adjustments were made. So the concept is that it has to be as right as it can be within the time frame allowed by HUD. And that's something that's curable. I know Mr. Murphy's here now, and it is well into 2014. Some things you need to be reconciled monthly. Some things need to be reconciled quarterly. Hopefully Joe can get that caught up before the 60-day mark post-year end, and we have minimal adjustments. And we're okay. I have some judgment factor in giving a finding when we have adjustments. If there's a lot of numerous adjustments or some are very significant, then my hands are kind of tied on that regard. If it's related to a developer fee or HUD giving you an adjustment after the fact, then maybe that's a little bit different. And we can kind of look the other way on that. Inter-program activity finding that 2013-2, HUD, that's why HUD was here today to talk about paying back some of that money. So staff will be talking about that later. I'm sure it's part of your report, but the due to, due from is going to get less. And the finding you have in front of you, it's about $5 million. And it's going to go down tomorrow when we produce this. It's going to be about $4 million. So we're really just moving the cash on the FDS to another program that has the receivable that advanced it. We're kind of settling up that cash, due to, due from. Eligibility for Section 8, we can talk about that when we get into the findings a little bit more. But essentially, we had some tenant file issues. It's curable. Staff are on top of it and aware of it. And you did have some change in staff in your Section 8 department. So the gentleman, I think, that was here in charge of that department was here for part of 2013. He wasn't here for 2014, I don't believe. So staff, no. Right. Yeah, no, yes, I was correct.
Yes, no.
That's correct.
Double reverse. So these are things that are curable. Finding number one is fixable. Finding number two might take some time to go away. That's your pooled cash account. Finding number three is correctable. Finding number four has to do with the general depository agreement. Your funds were collateralized, but HUD wanted you to execute the proper form. So it wasn't really an issue that your funds were not collateralized. It was that you didn't fill out the right form that HUD wanted to be collateralized. So that's already cured, that finding. Unless you open up some more bank accounts, then we need to make sure. Okay. And then inspections, HQS inspections, and primarily management is saying that that has to do with a glitch in the system. But if you look at who you are and what a housing authority does, it's your Section 8 program, is a bulk of your funding. And it's your frontline benefit to most of your residents. And we want to make sure that they're paying the right total tenant payment, and that our HAP expense is correct, and that they're living in a unit that's passing the inspection. And HQS is housing quality standards. So if a unit has failed, we need to go back and check within 30 days. And based on what we saw, it looked like a system error, but we didn't see the inspections were getting back out within 30 days. So staff are now monitoring that and tracking that and making the system kick out reports to make sure we're getting out within 30 days. There are a lot of accounting standards, number 6, GASB 63 and 65, net position and deferred items. These are government accounting standards, is the GASB. So in addition to the HUD rules and the HUD regs and basic accounting, we're following the governmental rules. Required communication between the board and the auditors. There's a separate letter we'll have for you that talks about these. Your significant accounting policies are in Note A. There's been no disagreements with management. It says here, no difficulties. That was before today. No, I'm just kidding. Get your revised letter. But we had significant changes today just to bring a lot of these numbers together, which is all for the better, you know, because HUD was here and talked to management about some key decisions. So, you know, that's important, doing that. We didn't have any difficulties with management. We did have difficulties in doing the audit. I mean, that's why we're here September 29th, you know, the day before it's due. But we've made good progress, and management has jumped on board. And even Eva, who left, you know, kind of helped out and still chimed in on some of her open items. So, you know, good job to everybody pulling it together at the end with your consultants and everybody. Financial highlights. Again, this is as of 2013. December, so lots changed. But your cash was $2.7 million. It was up $1 million from the prior year. Pretty much the main piece of that is because you collected on a note receivable with one of your limited liability partnerships. And fixed assets is one of your largest assets, $6 million, your capital assets. Section 8 funding, you can see on the next page, top of page 2, item C. Your HUD funding is $11.5 million, of which $9.3 is Section 8. So, you know, if you only had 8 hours in a day, I would think 7.5 hours would be focused on your Section 8 program. Mm-hmm. You know, everything from A to Z. And, you know, hone in on that, and I don't see that there's any problems, you know, as it comes to the residents and the voucher holders and the tenants. HUD funding is up $600,000, very small from the prior year. We like to use the term change in net position. We don't say net income. We don't say surplus because we're a government. And the GASB, when they created these new standards, it's not assets less liabilities anymore on the balance sheet. It's really 5 different components, and the end is your net position. So it's a loss of $1.3 million, whereas prior year was $2.6 million. So you've improved. But I want to point out that that's GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles, and not cash. Mm-hmm. Notes, loans, developer fees, and inter-programs, you know, do need to be addressed. You have large collectability on the books, and you did collect a large chunk of it, $1.2 million. But if you were to go to pages 22, 31, and 36 in the larger packet, you'd see the schedule of notes receivable that you have, and it's fairly large. And if you look down on the statement of net position right below here on page 2, you can see it's the third item, non-current assets. In 2012, it was $11 million, and now you're $9.7 under non-current assets. So staff are working, you know, once on that. Once a limited partnership cash flows, then it starts to waterfall, and then it starts to pay developer fees, notes, loans, and other borrowings. I know you guys have a full agenda. And does anyone have any questions?
Yes, to bring my report in from last time, how did our findings compare from our last findings at your last audit?
You know, that's a very good point. If you were to go to the back of the large packet,
okay,
there's a schedule of prior year findings. the corrective action is there, but if you were to go to page...
I just didn't have a chance to read this packet yet.
I understand. Very, very good.
I'm quick, not that quick.
Let the record show.
Page
59, I think, starts.
Yes, 59.
And the findings are with the 2012 reference.
Great.
Yep, thank you. And you can just see that a lot of these are repeated. It'll say repeated. In 2012, if it came from 2011, and you can see in the 2012 section, there's a status at the bottom. Oh, yes, but we're in the summary schedule prior findings. Yes, okay. I'm sorry. So if you look here at 59 has a header, the summary schedule of prior findings. And that would be good for us to do in the future, maybe a little grid
of
progress, the findings. We don't really like to bring up the past, but if it's showing progress.
Oh, showing progress, or if we're showing the continued pattern, we need to address that continued pattern.
That's right. If you were to look at the recap, and you were to look at number 5, I put repeated on the 3 that were there last year. And so you do have 2 new ones for this year as it relates to inspections and eligibility. But then in 2012, you had other ones that were cleared, no doubt. So, any other questions? So our goal in the future, and I'm sure management's goal with us as well, is perhaps to come out sooner, wrap it up sooner, and give it to you in a more timely manner. This is considered a management tool as far as Berman Hopkins goes and as far as management. So the sooner you know about it, the better. And part of the audit planning that we'll do next year is we'll reach out to the chairman and make sure if you guys have any concerns and you relay it to him and then part of our audit plan, we can factor that in. We do a pretty good widespread of what we test, and you know we're very knowledgeable with the HUD programs, but if there's a particular area you want us to focus on, something that we might not consider material or high risk, you know, just pass it through and we'll reach out at the beginning of next year's audit.
Council, would we go to him or would we go to Ben due to the provision on contacting the other commissioners? Would it go to Ben and Ben to him? Because I know...
Well, you mean questions about...
Yeah, things like that. I just want to make sure...
Because you're not allowed to talk.
Correct.
Yourselves.
Yeah. And I just didn't know if we direct it to him and then Ben would forward that to him to get you... I mean...
Yeah, no, normally that would be the protocol. And if you all have questions about the audit... because you can't talk to each other.
Correct. And if we emailed, I know we're not supposed to email each other, so I just want to make sure if it went to him, you know.
I guess the issue is...
Yeah, you have a specific rule not to email each other.
Correct. Yeah, that's what I was meaning. I remember that was brought up, that no emails would go directly.
So I'll reach out to the chairman, and he'll get his thoughts to me.
Okay.
And if you, and the rest of you have thoughts, if you'll get them to Ben, he can...
Yeah.
The issue is, what if your thoughts are about Ben? You know.
Ben's kidding. Got thick skin. He's tough, right?
The travel expense reports.
Well, then, but now, seriously, though, since you brought it up, if there is some concern, then if you'll get them to me, I'll get them to you.
Okay.
If that,
no,
if
I just
as an alternative.
We had a meeting about no emails would go to the
yes.
chairman and stuff like that, beyond what we had before. So yes. I just want to make sure.
Counsel, I'm just going to say for the record, I haven't done anything that needs to be reported.
It was a hypothetical comment.
He may know something. Brian brought it up.
It was a hypothetical comment, but I understand. Any of you can reach out directly to me.
Yeah,
if you want. And staff know how to get in touch with
you. Well, one thing I would make a suggestion, and again, we all are free to reach out to Brian, but I'm thinking for the sake of not having a whole bunch of people, if y'all want me to be a part of content where everyone submit their question to me by a certain period, then I'll form them all to that way you won't have, you know, 5 or 6. And I don't know if they all, you know, all of them.
Especially if it may be similar questions.
Yeah, you can compile them.
And I come to think of it, though, that was a good little point.
And I'll copy you on the emails that I sent him with the list of questions.
Yeah.
That was a good little point, although I'm sure you don't want this all the time, but it doesn't have to go through me either. You can, you'll have his information. You can send it directly to Brian.
Let me suggest this. I'll email Ben saying, you know, we're getting ready to start the audit. I'd like to reach out to the board members. He'll forward that to each of you with my email address and my contact info. And if I don't hear from you, then, you know, it's business as usual, and we'll do our normal audit plan, and feel free to reach out to me. You can just respond just to me,
yes,
not to each other. And I won't share that with anybody else. And my goal is to get you a draft in advance of your board meeting a week before in the financial package. When do you normally get your package in advance?
A week before.
So that's our goal for next year, and that's on record. So we'll do that. If not, you can give me a finding. So any questions?
Just so you know, Brian, it's on this record, plus they're recording you back here, too.
Yeah, I think I was here for the last meeting, but you can't hear that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
There's audio on video.
All right, very good.
This is going on YouTube.
Oh, right. Now, you needed to disclose my film before I started.
Can't use okay. YouTube.
Thank you, guys. Have a good meeting.
Thank you. Okay. We're up to, I guess, item number 5, old business, recovery plan review committee update.
The recovery review committee has been meeting with the executive director and staff. They're making significant progress. I think we've been satisfied with the results up to this point. They came in with their information relative to how they're going to reduce the costs. It's one thing we need to caution the board about is that in order to try to come up with a balanced budget, it requires a tremendous reduction in staff in a lot of areas, in some cases a reduction in service. We're comfortable right now with what was presented to us. We're waiting for the results from HUD to see where we are on the recovery plan that they're planning to submit. But right now, I think they've done a great job of making the presentation to the committee, and we feel fairly comfortable. And Commissioner Smith, if you want to add to that.
No, we got numbers, you know, not just theories, but we got numbers as well. And it's like a good plan. Of course, it's contingent on HUD. You know, whether they are going to accept what we're proposing. And Valerie, they know the ins and outs of how we can do something. Some of these things look like, you know, we had some questions as to how this was going to work, and they came forward with very plausible answers to our questions, and hope they're able to convince HUD that this is the way to go. The way it's set up right now, you know, in the first 2 or 3 years, a big chunk of this is going to be gone.
Right.
And then spread the rest of it out over a 10-year period.
And I think the big factor in accomplishing the plan is, as Commissioner Smith has said, it's in the first 2 years we drastically reduced the debt, but it's all contingent on selling the two pieces of property. It's up for sale. Right now it looks like that's will happen, but if either one of them fall through, then it could mean we have to go back to the drawing board. But right now I think we're convinced that it does look doable, and then thereafter we're going to have to just maintain it. So I think the audit report brings out a good point about if most of our business is Section 8, that's where we should be concentrating. So that's another caveat that That's another caveat that we, that I think we'll take into consideration as we move forward. So, but right now, we will, our recommendation is that that the plan that they have presented to us is an acceptable plan, and hopefully the rest of the commissioners will go in and would be in agreement with our decision.
Was most of the money that was overspent or misspent, was that due to salaries? That's the way it looked to me from the financials I looked at. Did we actually have anything that we could show that we spent that money on, or was it basically all salaries from this information y'all received?
I think a lot of it was salary, because we had, that's where we took the tremendous hit,
yeah.
Is in the COCC budget. So, yeah. And I
was hoping at least we'd have a glimpse, now you got the numbers, that maybe we actually pay for something. We maybe didn't pay it correctly, but we could show something for it. Like, but.
Well, from what we could get, what we could see is that some of it was prior to, I guess, when they had a consultant on there they were paying big amount of money to.
Wow.
That we weren't in a full agreement with, but that was taken care of, I think, when the new administration came in. So a lot of it was contingent upon those kind of things. So,
yeah, we did go back and analyze, you know, what's happened over the last 10 years. We're looking at how to fix it now.
Oh, no, I just didn't know with the findings that we could actually say, hey, we roofed all these places, but it wasn't done correctly. At least we got roofs for 15 years or something. I mean, instead of salaries, they're sort of, you got them, they're gone. I mean, that's...
So that's our report.
Good. Okay, we're up to item number 6, monthly reports.
No.
No?
No. We got my report.
Well, we jumped.
After the committee report, then I'd be able to update.
Oh, yeah, I thought they were giving you. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, let's go ahead, sir.
Yeah, we
agree. I just want to say a couple things. Like, what we gave the committee was the draft recovery plan, and then it talks about, give a little background on how we got to where we are, and it's just factual. It just basically some facts about how we got that situation, and then what steps we've taken to correct those things and what we put in place to prevent the reoccurrence of those same items. And again, I think I told the board before, the plan is to, like, say, do a draft of it, give it to the committee first, have them to look at it, then present it to her, get their feedback, then present it to the board, okay, for your review and approval. And her is here today. We thought we were going to do them tomorrow and go through those things, but they wanted to discuss it today. And one of the things that Brian alluded to was that I said this, when you're doing negotiation, when both parties walk away somewhat mad, they say that's a good negotiation. And one of the things that HUD basically demanded, and they're going to meet with the chairman tomorrow and reiterate that, was that they wanted some of the unrestricted cash that we have on hand at 1.5. They wanted some of that applied toward that debt. And they wanted 1.1 million. And that's what we negotiated.
They didn't want to leave you much, huh?
Yeah. And that is a part of the 2013 audit finance. That's one of the reasons that Brian's report is not going to be due. And that brings the debt down to about $4.1 million. And that's what we'll be, you know, negotiating with the repayment plan. And they also wanted it reduced from 10 years to 5 years. And that's because during 2014, prior to us doing that $1.1 million, we already done about $1 million worth of repayments. And then when we had at the 1.1, it'll show about 1.8, you know, during 2014. And if we sell the properties next year, which we feel very confident about, I'm not guaranteeing.
Not
clear?
No, not to you.
Okay. But we are cautiously optimistic about both properties, with the discussion we've had with the potential buyers. And so a large part of that debt will be paid by 2015, by the end of 2015, should those properties go through. And one thing we discussed with the committee was a plan B, should one of those fall through. And we had some of the questions about with her today as well. And I think the major difference, what we see as a win is that several months ago, HUD was opposed to allowing us to use the sale of properties towards the debt. Because they were like, we support that. And then there's also the uncollected fees, the $1.3 million. We're not going to submit the whole thing, we're just going to apply for the public outside. And HUD probably won't approve the whole thing for their property, they approve a portion of it. That's fine, because they have a little bit of help. And I think that within the reducing the 5 years, it's doable, provided everything between the progress as it is. And you'll see that when you get the draft recovery plan. And I'm saying draft because it's not final until it's approved by the board. And HUD is made some good recommendations on what they wanted to see in the recovery plan. We're going to make those revisions within the next couple of days and send that to them. And so that we'll get their comment prior to presenting to you all on the 20th. And we have the recovery plan committee meeting, we'll go through that in more detail with you all. But I think it was overall a positive meeting today. With them.
So we're up to, you said about $5 million?
No, 4.1 billion.
It's 4.1 with the 1.1 million we give them, or? Okay, I'm just trying to make sure I understood what you said. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to make sure I understood it.
Yeah, we're going to apply for 1.1 to the 2013 financial audits. And it's going to become 4.1 million because you all were told it was 4.9. That was because that was the unaudited financials. Mm-hmm. But that was because there was some capital fund payment / adjustment that was not made. Mm-hmm. The financial that made it 5.2. But the most important thing to remember to look at is that it's not trending down. It's trending down significantly.
And even with the 4.1 million, that's in 2013 numbers, but all the payments we made in 2014 mm-hmm. will hit. So it'll be actual, the recovery plan will be less than the 4.1. It's just that what you're going to see in the audited financials is 4.1 for fiscal year 2013.
Okay. And the reduction from 10 to 5 years shouldn't be
because we're doing it in 2014 and 2015, should all that come to pass? Yeah. It'll be just a few hundred thousand dollars.
But that leaves a small reserve.
Yeah. That's it.
You took 1.1 out of a reserve, correct? What you said? I'm just trying to make it.
I didn't have any choice.
I didn't say that. I'm just making sure I understand. Yeah. And how much does that leave us approximately?
400,000.
Okay. And what you're
going to get, okay, is a balanced budget for 2015 without the use of reserves.
Correct. I mean, currently we were using reserves, but we're planning to do away with bleeding out of it.
Yeah.
Well, just as an example.
We're not using any reserves now, right?
No, we're not using reserves now.
No, we're not. No.
Early in the year we were.
That 1.5 has been now like almost a year.
Yeah.
Okay, it's been untouched for over a year, since October of last year.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So then by 2015, if we sell the properties and everything goes through, what are we looking at that we still owe?
Like I said, I haven't run the numbers yet because I ran one beach on it, but it's definitely a few hundred thousand.
October of 13, we haven't taken any reserves. Because I still thought when we met in November, we were for operations.
I understand why you're saying that, but I'll just say this. There were some items, you know, that representations that were made that we were finding that were not necessarily accurate. Okay?
I'm sorry, I didn't get all of that, what you just said.
I'm just saying, you know, my statement about, he's questioned my statement about that you put the 1.5 million and it stayed there since October of last year.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And there may have been some, when we told him that wasn't that we didn't necessarily have money, we had different than we were using. Okay? And I'm just saying that money stayed the same since October last year. That's what I've been told, what we confirmed.
Okay. But information presented to the board did not say that. I know we got, I'm pretty sure my memory's not very good, but I'm pretty sure I thought I saw reports we were pulling from there after October 13th.
May I clarify, please?
Okay.
The budget that you approved for calendar year 2014 anticipated that we would have a shortfall of about $595,000 in COCC and another $200,000 in development. If we had gone based on the approved budget and was reaching into cash on hand, at this point in time, we would have spent $667,000 out of Polk County Housing Developers account. There was one transfer that was made in January of 2014, about $200,000, that came out of Polk County Housing Developers that dropped it from 1.4 to 1.2. But then in September, we were able, after review with the investors of the SR1s, we were able, and it's in the development report, to get deferred developer fees from Colton Meadow of $148,119 plus another $129,967 from bonding. So that brought the account back up to $1.5 million. So there were some charges that had to be done that was done in January of 2014. That was when money was transferred from Polk County Housing Development. And then we were able to replenish it back with deferred developer fees in September. So basically, it came out overall a little bit better than the $1.4 million that HUD saw when we met in March.
Yeah, and I'm happy we haven't. I just sort of thought I had saw that and maybe we would discuss it a little bit in one of the board meetings. How long can we sustain bleeding? Pulling out of there, and that's the reason I brought that up. I wasn't trying to be condescending to you, Ben. I was just trying to ask a question.
I wasn't saying that what you're saying is incorrect.
Yeah,
okay. I was just making that particular point, because the point I'm trying to make is that we've been making improvements, and do you find that something that we thought, you know, what the case several months ago wasn't necessarily the case. But the bottom line is that we feel confident that, you know, we have plugged the holes and we're headed in the right direction. You know, granted, we had to do some more tightening of our belts, cutting and everything, and so that's why you see the reduction in force and the like. But, you know, we are where we are, and I think we're headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, and have we fixed everything? I'm not going to say that, but are we, you know, doing what we need to do, you know, going forward? Yes, I say that.
Okay.
And as we move forward, whatever information wasn't correct that you received, if there's any commissioner wants to hear more about that in detail, Ben can talk to you one-on-one about it, if that's okay.
Is that it on the recovery plan update? Mm-hmm. When will we get the draft? Is it after the meeting with HUD tomorrow, next month? When will we get the draft?
I want to give it to the committee first, and okay, then once we get it from them. Because I just got to tweak a couple of things based upon the conversation with HUD.
Okay.
So the plan is at the next board meeting?
Yeah, the 20th. You'll have it on the board.
By that time, we will have had a chance to meet.
Yes. And hopefully by then, we should have HUD's common sense, you know, we're doing what they asked us to do. And again, it's a cursory review that HUD will be doing, because it won't be officially submitted to them until you all approve it.
Okay.
But I think it's safe to, say that, you know, up to this point, that if any commissioner wants to be privy to what the plan that's on the table, I'm sure you can talk to Ben and get a copy of it.
If y'all want me to send it now, I seem to just understand that it's going to change.
Yeah, you know, that's the reason why I said
that. That's the reason I've been kind of somewhere.
Yeah, we're not trying to hide anything.
Right. It's just in the past you've had problems with that.
But it's a moving document, so, you know, but if anybody wants to know what's on the table right now, we can certainly show it to you.
Yeah, because, for example, what I said to her Friday changed this morning.
Oh, yeah, it's going to change. So,
yeah.
It's going to change.
Yes, sir.
Are we going to talk more about the sale of these two properties later on in the meeting today? Or
what do you want to know?
Do we have any particular date that we'll know for sure it's a done deal?
Date? No, for a particular action? Yes, I can tell you that. Where we are is with that, say, with the sale of the whole six property. We thought that we would have to go through the full disposition submitted to the SAC office, but we found a letter whereby they had already gotten approval from the SAC office. And so I just have to submit a request to the HUD field office down in Miami. Mm-hmm. And I'll do that. I'm going to try and maybe do that. If I don't do it in the morning, you know, it'll be sent soon thereafter. And then with the Auburn Manor, the application itself, because then we have to do a full disposition application, it requires an environmental assessment as part of the application. And we're having that work currently being done, and as soon as that is done, we'll then submit that application. And one of the good things that HUD said and what our esteemed attorney has said before is that they have a good relationship with the SAC office so that they could help speed things up. And so, and in the recovery plan itself, each one of those is anticipated sometime in 2015. Okay. The one whereby we currently have the SAC approval, I just said June, that'll be done. And the other, actually, I'm saying December, but I'm hoping it'll be done prior to that. Just give myself a lot of leeway and stuff. But we are cautiously optimistic at this point, and both are making very good progress.
Any other questions? Okay, then are you finished with the update?
This one.
Ben?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless you have some other questions.
Okay, Commissioners, we have a resident who came in after the public forum who would like to speak to the board.
I'm going to hold it until after we have our meeting, and I'll be prepared next forum.
Okay. No problem. Thank you. Then we're on to item number six, monthly reports.
Okay. Okay, so we got July in front of us, and I know it's a little bit awkward because it's back 2 months, but the good thing is this, that we're tracking, we're doing it consistently every month, okay? And accounting is one thing I learned from my professors in college, is accounting supposedly is predictable, okay, to some degree, it should be, okay? Even from, and I'm going to get off on a tangent, I don't want to, but even from an analytical standpoint, when you look at metrics, when you look at analytics, when you look at what to expect, you have some expectation, okay? So I like that word, expectation. So when you're looking at your financial statements for July and then once again for August, when you're going to read them, you ask the question, what is my expectation, not only for this entity, but what should be my expectation for this line item?
whether it's on a P&L, a revenue item, an expense item, wages, benefits. And I think that that's a good grid to put on what you're looking at, okay? Because it's more interactive and it should tell a story. Okay, so having said that, July is, even though it's back 2 months, it's still relevant, okay? I made two changes to the reporting package, okay? At least one of them I gave you a heads up of what I was going to do. And you can see it here in the COCC illustration and the statement of operations. And what I did is I inserted a subtotal, pretty much. And the subtotal basically identifies and highlights what operating income or loss would be before depreciation. Depreciation is a non-cash outlay. Basically, it's a way that what we can do is we can take a capital investment of, let's say, $100,000 and depreciate that over... Let me back up. We take a capital investment, we determine is the estimated useful life. Now, it's estimated useful life because nobody really knows. So it's your best guesstimate. If the estimated useful life is 10 years, then the next question is the utilization on a straight line basis or pro rata? Most cases, we default to a pro rata because otherwise it is too complicated. We're very deep into the weeds. And even at that point, we still may be off. Okay, so here's what we have, is we have a capital investment. It's $100,000. The estimated useful life is 10 years, no salvage value. So what we do is we take a $10,000 hit. Okay, and that's an expense. Okay, but it's not a cash outlay for that year because the outlay was in the year that we acquired it and placed in service. So that's what we refer to as a non-cash expense or outlay. So cash flow in this environment, in the governmental environment, and also in the limited LLLP arena environment, cash flow is the most important thing. That's what the investors look at. That's what we're looking at. When we're trying to manage and monitor. So what I did across the board is I highlighted income before depreciation because in some cases we're positive. Then depreciation expense, then total expense, then the bottom line, which is net operating income or loss. So that change was instituted, and you'll see that here. And you'll see it here in this comparison statement of operations. And once again, in the statement of operations, I think it's a great, you know, when I was in D.C., we used the same, we must have had the same consultants or the same people because I inherited this exact same format, and it's great. What it does, it gives you a current month, actual budget variance, and then also gives you a year-to-date. And it's not too detailed, but it hits the high watermark areas, and it's the same areas that HUD is interested in as well. HUD is interested in admin expenses, utility, maintenance. Those are areas of functionality. HUD is interested in that when we report in REACT. We're reporting that same format here on a monthly basis as well. Okay. You know, it's got my vote. I think it's great. I would recommend we continue to utilize it with comments as well, and I think that's helpful. Okay. I also wanted to make one editorial comment, and that would be on the COCC balance sheet. Okay. The amount that we're reporting as due to federal has not changed. It's not changed all year. And I think management has done just a phenomenal job in monitoring that, reducing costs, holding to a promise. And that amount of $2,802.695, no, $2,802,695 has not changed. Okay, it might have changed a couple hundred dollars, but there's a reason for that. But other than that, it is pretty much dead on. No change. And I just wanted to footnote that for the memory bank. The other change that I instituted was twofold for two reasons. One was I wanted a report that was more dashboard, that was very simplified, okay? But I still wanted to be able to meet the requirements that we report on a cash flow or a changes in cash requirement that we in finance had promised. Okay, so you'll see that format right behind the balance sheet in the COCC. Okay, and what this is a dashboard high level report. There's not a lot of numbers on here, but I think that the information that we're conveying is strategic for this reason. The top set of numbers is for the month. It's the change that occurs that month. Okay. So if you see a net increase, decrease, and then you look at your account balance, you're saying, okay, it increased or decreased, but it pretty much, like in the case of the COCC, it decreased $8,000, pretty much stayed the same, okay? Which means that we're probably in pretty good shape for next month, keeping all things equal, okay? So from a management standpoint, you're looking at cash flow, you're looking at changes in cash because it should be prophetic. It should give you some glimpse into the future. You know, do we have an adequate level of cash flow sitting today to meet our immediate needs over the short term? The short term generally would be 3 months or less. Okay, and I think that this report provides that. The other thing that it does, on the bottom section, it gives you a trend analysis our year to date. It'll tell you what the cash balance was in the beginning of the year, and it'll tell you a net decrease in what occurred between January 1st and now. So in the COCC, from January 1st to now, you had a net decrease of $89,000. But it's right in front of you. And I think that you can then, it might spur some discussion, analysis, maybe a couple of emails for us to stay up late at night and answer. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out to you. And I'm hoping that you find that to be suitable to your needs and informational at the same time. Other than that, I don't have any other comments that I wanted to share with you. Do you have any questions on the July reports?
Have you looked at how many operating days we could go?
Here, we don't track that as a metric.
Okay.
Okay. We're more optimistic, but that might be something that we might want to take into consideration.
It'd be nice to know.
Yeah, it would be nice to know. Yeah, we don't feel like we have a going concern issue here.
Right.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
And those changes are continuous all the way through all your reports?
Yes, sir.
The analysis you did on COC?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, that was consistently applied.
Yep. Okay.
To grant updates. No grant updates?
Oh, I can do that. I mean, it's in my report. Whatever I didn't.
Sure.
What kind of grants? Let me just highlight that. May I?
The ones that are due to run out.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's the ones we're
taking. Here's the approach I want to take on this: is that we've got very qualified people that have as much of an intimate view in this arena as me, and probably could add some detail that is not within my fingertips or grasp, okay? But let me just give you a high-level presentation. Our CFP funds, we're running three major years, okay? And we're on track here. We have an available balance in totality of $338,000. Our procedures, basically in the CFP arena, under federal mandate, it's an expense reimbursement program. Okay, we expend the proceeds, or we incur the expenditure. Then what we do is we draw down the monies. Okay, but what happens long before that are your BLIs, or how are you going to spend the money? And that's already been in the system. That is, we've done our due diligence, and that's basically an historical position. That may change from time to time, and when that changes, we ask HUD for a budget revision. That's pretty much the program. Okay. Replacement housing factor grants. I'm sure that there's no activity. There hasn't been, but I'm sure Valerie would be happy to add her perspective on this in terms of what's down the road with RHF, okay? So, safety and security grant, we're pretty much expended on that. We've got $10,000 left. In the Ross arena, the 2011, we're fully expended. And as Carlos has indicated in his report, we have not applied for a new grant under a service coordinator. But the other grant is fully expended, and this is a 12. This is really a typo. I think this is a typo. The grant that was fully expended is, I believe, the 2012. It's 11. It's all of it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know it's fully expended, year?
All the years are fully expended. We have to draw down the last $52,000, but when I went back into Yardie with Carlos and Bob, it turned out that we'd already, what was happening is that person's salary wasn't getting booked to that grant. So we were paying for them, but we weren't getting reimbursed.
Sure. And we're in the process of making that reclassification internally so that we'll have the support and the records to draw down.
To draw it down.
Okay.
And then the new grant start in January 1st.
Well, we won't be able to draw it down until
February.
Okay. But I think what I was suggesting is my dates here are incorrect. It should be what's fully expended here that we've been reporting monthly is the 2012. The 2013 is poised to be drawn.
Right.
Okay. And it's not on the schedule, but right now for presentation purposes, it's a $52,000 grant that we have access to, and we will be drawing down in the days and weeks to come. Okay, and we will put that grant on this schedule for next month. Youth build, we have a youth build's interesting. We have, let's see if I can say this correctly, because youth build's complicated in a good way. The 2011 grant, we have an extension on that till May 2015, and we've got some provisions in that where we're able to do follow-up work and some other budgetary expenses that may be incurred that will go into that grant that we've been reporting monthly. You see it right in front of you. Okay. We have a new grant, and the new grant will be a three-year grant. It's about $1 million, what, $994,000 or something? Or that was the old one. But
it's about
that. Let's call it
$975,000.
Thank you, Mr. Stevenson. He's got a command of the numbers. Okay, so that's going to be $975,000, and that's going to be over a three-year period. And we'll be getting that on the schedule as well to report that and to track that. So the youth build, 147,000 available balance. We will be drawing that down. We're tracking, and it's our anticipation that we will be eligible to draw all of it. And the 21st century is done. We've filed, we've done our, it's my understanding, we've done our compliance filing, our final reports in July. And in finance, we have this, let me think, was it September or August?
Yeah, we're submitting the compliance reports now. The grant ended on July 31st. And so we closed out the program.
Okay. Okay, and we will not be renewing that.
Okay.
Okay. Seven in the bucket. No, I didn't say that. Any questions?
No, that's it. Thank you. The housing report.
Good. Before us briefing, however, two highlights. We're gonna try to open the Section 8 waiting list before the year end. We interview mostly everybody that is in the waiting list as of right now. We're planning to issuing vouchers to everybody as of Friday. The reason why we're still planning on opening the Section 8 waiting list because it takes a lot of planning due to the families that are going to be applying for that program. We're expecting about 4,000 or 5,000 families in the first week, so that's going to take a big chunk of the staff's time, and my time and everybody's time. So it needs a lot of planning. The second highlight is that we received a second contract from Pinellas County to perform 184 unit inspections. We already did 154 inspections in May, so we received a second contract for another 184 inspections, so that's income coming into the program. Other than that, everything else is going great. Any questions?
We're able to do the Pinellas County even with our reduced staff and keep up with the ones that we need to do here.
Okay. That's the income.
That's income.
I know it's income. We're going to get our work done, too.
Actually, for the first round, I did half of the inspection me personally, so that helped, you know, and keep me busy. Away from Ben and Valerie.
What he meant to say today is that it's their hands dirty.
We have an estimated amount of money that we will take in from this.
It just all depending on how many re-inspections we have to do. But we're charging them between, I think it's $30 per inspection. So, and then if we have to go back, then it's another 30, and it's add up. So it's about $5,000-$6,000. Yeah. But we were able to do the 154 inspection within 3 days, so it's pretty good. So.
$5,500 without any re-inspections.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And a 3-day work, one person salary, 3 times, still a good business.
Okay, thank you. To the next item, development report.
Okay, well, development has spent August and September focusing on the agency plan, 5-year plan, as well as getting the audited financials completed. Now, one of the things that's important to remember, we talked about our negotiations with HUD today, and we're all a little bit somber because we're going to transfer the $1.1 million. We still are maintaining the money. It may not be in an unrestricted account. It may have restrictions, but it's still with this housing authority. And two, it's very important because we have been fighting this battle since October 23rd, 2013. The Miami field office is held firm. You have RHF funds and raised grant report that have to be obligated. by July of 2015 or we'll lose them. We cannot get an extension because the prior administration got an extension. And the work that we have to do, build new units on the vacant lots of Renaissance, is considered development. And the Miami field office is not going to let us do any development until they see a real effort to pay back funds. So even though today was a hard blow for everybody, I hate to give up money from an unrestricted use to restricted use. The bigger picture is we have $1.7 million of RHF money in jeopardy if we didn't give them an amount that made them feel like we were really trying to pay down the public housing debt quickly. Having said that, the other activities that are basically going to be board resolutions that we'll talk about later in the agenda. But, of course, we're going to ask you to approve a resolution that allows the board chairman to fill out the HUD form 50077, which talks about the PHA plan process and the different certifications. And just briefly to discuss that, we actually published the agency plan on August 11, 2014. It was actually out for comments for 45 days. We had three meetings with the resident advisory board. The first meeting was basically to get them educated on the agency planning process, since a lot of them were new. Then also, we had our second meeting to brief them on the changes that had occurred with the ACOP and the Housing Choice Voucher Administrative Plan, as well as some changes that HUD required because of equal opportunity in housing and some changes that we made to our inspections. That was also the time when we met with the resident advisory board to discuss the fact that we are going to have reduced staff to work under this break-even budget. And so the resident advisory board gave us feedback and expressed their desire to help the housing authority put together grant applications. They also expressed an interest in forming a 501c3 so they could get grants on their own. So the resident advisory board is looking to be engaged in the upcoming 2015 year, meeting monthly, trying to do some additional activities than the ones that they have planned previously. We had our public hearing on September 25th. One resident showed up for the meeting, but we had no public comments. So with that being said, we're in a position to actually submit for this board to allow us to have the commissioner, the board chair, actually sign the HUD form and allow us to submit the agency plan. The other item that we're looking at is the renovations to this building. I know everybody's been anxious for us to get finished, especially with the outside, because that's our curb appeal. We finally have gotten through all of the changes with Swift Mud and the city of Lakeland. We have drawings that were priced by the contractor. So you'll also see a resolution later in the agenda where we're asking for authorization to modify the work order with Johnson Locks to do the outside work for about $51,000. It will also include phone system for the inside of this building because our phone system is obsolete, dropping calls, etc.
And then if I could just add to that, whatever we call the phone repairman, he tells us, you know, I keep coming as long as you call me, but I highly recommend that y'all replace the system. So.
And then the final development resolution is for Innovative Financial Housing Solutions. We had anticipated that we would have a replacement for Eva Hall, our former director of finance, quicker than what we did. So we actually need to have the ability to extend their contract to allow Ray to do a 30-day transition with Joe so that he can actually have all the knowledge on submitting the various grants and day-to-day activities and take over the reporting. So, unless you have any questions, those are the hot items for development. But I guess I will add, since we were talking about money, on Colton Meadow with deferred developer fees, that $148,000 payment reduced our deferred developer fee owed from $346,000 to $197,000. Also, the villas at Lake Bonnet, we received $129,000, and that reduced the fees that have been deferred from $450,000 to $320,000. So it's really important that we get back to doing development, have the Miami Field Office satisfied that we're making progress towards the recovery plan so we can actually get new income on the books. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? The resident services report. Since Earl is no longer here, what to submit it as written? Okay. Then we're up to the resolution. To resolution 14-1387. Resolution 14-1387.
So, every year HUD issue for market rent.
I just said I didn't get a black folder, but that's okay.
That's what I did.
I see.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm asking the board to approve the new payment standard based on HUD's new fair market rent. I'm recommending keeping the payment standard at 100% of the fair market rent, which is a 2.9 increase over the 2014 payment standards. I think that that's going to allow the residents to find suitable housing in an easier manner and faster. Right now, some of them are struggling. The economy is improving, rents are going higher, and basically our families are suffering. So I think if we keep it at 100%, that will ease their pain a little bit.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve resolution 14-1387?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions, comments? Roll call.
Commissioner Pinmentown?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall?
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessari?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 14-1387 passes. We're up to resolution 14-1388.
Okay, this is the resolution to increase Johnson Box overall contract by $51,100 for the exterior work for the LHA administrative building as well as the phone system. With this particular resolution, this building is part of AMP 1. So that $1.1 million that's being paid back to public housing, that funding can be used to fund the renovations and exterior work that we've done on this building.
Okay. Do you have a motion to pass resolution 14-1388?
What was the original amount?
The original amount was $87,000. And that was prior to some adjustments that we had to do for modification number one. We got some credits for work that we didn't have to do, but then we also ran into mold issues in other parts of the building where we had to remediate, replace the cabinets, replace flooring. The system that we have now doesn't have glue down. It's actually got a full system between it, and its tongue and groove snapped together, so it's nothing for the mold to eat. And that brought the contract up to a not to exceed of $134,000. And now to do the exterior work to get the grading so that the water doesn't drain into the building, as well as to get the phone system and to address some other areas with Swift Mud, because we're going to end up adding a parking space when we do the sloping of the grading outside. And that'll make it a not to exceed of $193,600. And that should conclude all of the work that's required for this building. Yes.
Do you have any details on the phone system that we're getting?
I actually have to defer to, because I didn't meet with the...
We'll get it to you.
Yeah. Since you just a question. That's at Publix. I was a telecommunications specialist, and I helped to purchase telephone systems.
So. Yeah. Well, I'm an IT person. You know, working with them, and Ian Carlos, and I guess CBS consultants, other folks as well. You know, we're doing comparable. So in terms of the system, we hear the price and all of that. So. We're doing our appropriate due diligence.
But I can tell you that the new phone system is going to be able to communicate with Outlook, and it's going to also be able to, all your voicemails are going to go to your email, so you don't no longer have to dial in to listen to your voicemails. So it's an advanced system.
So it's something like a VCM system.
Not just where technology is today.
Yeah.
It's not like we're getting some extravagant system, but that's just where we are with technology today. We have to do that.
So. I was just thinking about the money that we're increasing. And I know phone systems are a lot of money.
but we gotta fix it now, fix it later. Cause
again,
I said when the phone guy was coming, he said I keep coming, but he said you know you really wasting your money because this system is not gonna last long.
So and this system that we were using in Section A in Harden, he's gonna buy that system back. So this is the reason why the reduced rate is
good. So this is something that we'll be able to do more of ourselves as far as programming of this phone. Right.
Okay. And, we have a motion to accept 14-1388.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Third. Fourth.
Commissioner Pinman-Fell.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessari.
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders.
Aye.
Commissioner Smith.
Aye.
Resolution 14-1388 passes. We're up to Resolution 14-1389.
Okay, this is to add another month for Ray to actually be here for the next 30 days to transition Joe Murphy into the duties and responsibilities that Eva Hall was performing as Director of Finance. Additionally, since we're looking at bringing the fee accounting firm on board, there'll also be some transitioning of the fee accounting staff and then other reporting that could be done by the Director of Development. So Ray will be busy transitioning three sets of people for the next 30 days.
Okay. Move approval.
Second.
What was it motion by?
Commissioner Smith, and then Reverend Richardson. Any questions, comments? Okay, roll call.
So the 30-day increase is how much now? I just want to make sure.
Oh,
it's not to exceed.
It's not, well, it's going to make the overall task order increase to $137,000, but this task order number two that we would issue is for $40,000.
Yes. Not to exceed $40,000.
Yeah.
So it just depends on how many hours are built, I guess.
Yes, we tried.
We're going to get our money by 5.
Got to work it out for him. Went to that auditor, boy.
I didn't know it was $40,000 for the fine.
Have to look at.
I understand.
Consulting costs, travel, and then also the good thing about the base contract that IFH had, because of the duties that they were performing, which was basically taking over some of the responsibilities of staff that we no longer had, the contract was being funded from operational costs. Initially, when we talked about the financial advisory contract, we were afraid that it was going to come out of that cash on hand that you had of the $1.4 million, but we haven't had to touch that to pay for their contract. And we don't foresee having to tap into cash on hand to pay the balance of the $40,000 for Task Order 2 because it's operational costs.
Move to accept them.
Yeah, a second.
I bet you already done that.
Did them already? We were on the question. Yeah. Got a call for the roll call.
Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall?
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessari?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Resolution 14-1389 passes. And Ray said he's going to give us a pizza party upon his departure. Always trying to get that pizza party out of someone.
I'll throw in the donuts.
All right, there you go. Let's throw in the donuts. You can't beat that. Okay, we're up to Resolution 14-1390.
Okay, this is for authorization for the board chair to be able to execute HUD Form 577, which talks about the agency planning process and allowing us to submit the 2015 agency plan as well as the five-year plan, which contains the schedule that we project to expend our capital fund program funding over the next 5 years from 2015 to 2019.
Do I get to sign over my wife and kids?
Not for 5 years. 5 years.
For 5 years.
Yeah, that's about it.
Motion to pass.
Need a motion?
I move approval of 14-1390.
A second.
Any questions? Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye, aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall?
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessari?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Okay, Resolution 14-1390 passes. Okay, that's it for the resolutions. We're up to the Secretary's report. Okay. Up to item 8, the legal report.
Other than making sure we stay on track with the ED evaluation forms, that would be my only report. I think you all have had an opportunity to review it. And if you will approve it, I think we can move forward. But if you have any questions about it.
That was the final draft that you brought in last time with the changes.
That's the projected final draft.
With the change, the points, the way we
correct.
We expanded the point range.
Okay. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do we need a motion to
approve the document? Because we gave it to you last time, but yeah,
okay.
If you will approve the format of the document,
yeah.
Then we have something to move forward.
Then we can finally go get to it. I move that we accept the format as presented by the legal counsel.
It's in regards to the executive director's evaluation?
For the ED's, evaluation.
I second it. Any questions? Comments? Roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall?
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessari?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Thank you, Commissioners. That's my report for the evening, much shorter than the other reports.
Okay.
Awesome. This is the shortest I've ever heard you talk.
Thank you. Trying to get that off by admitting it, but apparently I couldn't do that.
Up to item number 9, any other business or corrective action plan? We've already discussed that.
No, that's a, this is separate. This is the one that we submit to her each month.
The one that's in the package.
That's
right.
The one that's in the package?
Yeah, the one that's in the package. Exactly. Right, right.
On that was in. If I can have a view on the board, please approve the investment and share the problem.
Okay. Since we just received that as information?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, then, if there's no other business, no other further business, then move to adjourn.
Okay.
You
don't need no
roll
call on that.
No roll call. There you go.
With me.
Meeting adjourned 7:35.